Listening to this Fifi, Fev and Byron catch up feels like a holiday for your ears. To feel like you're on holidays all the time, to feel like you're living in a resort every day, visit mandalayliving.com.au.
I want to talk about something that is trending, and I'm curious about this. It's polyamory. Are you familiar with polyamory, Fev?
Oh, why did you say Fev? Could have said Byron. No. Is it a polygraph?
No, polyamory, it is, you know how there's monogamy?
Yeah.
And that's when two people are in a relationship and they decide to be exclusive.
Yeah. You just need the one partner with monogamy.
Is this three?
Polyamory is the opposite. It's as many as you'd like.
Oh, okay. There you go.
A technical term for any arrangement in which you're allowed to date and snuggle.
So you're a swinger.
Or sleep with whoever
you want.
The
partner doesn't know about it.
As long as everyone involved is happy.
Oh, okay.
No, that's just cheating. Yeah. So polyamory is obviously not monogamy, and it is an alternative way of conducting a relationship. And apparently it is trending, and it is becoming more and more, I'm not going to say acceptable, but definitely more prevalent. So
are you okay?
Why?
Well, yesterday you spoke about cheating. If you're going to cheat in the workplace.
Who would it be? And now you're bringing up
talking about open relationships.
No, I can't.
Is everything all right?
You're all right.
These are topical topics.
Are they? I haven't seen any of these topics anywhere.
Yeah,
and I go through Twitter every day.
Yeah, you go through Twitter.
What are you watching?
I go through established news sources.
What?
I'm reading news online.
Huffington Post?
No, Huffington Post, Washington
Don't
Post,
say
New
the
York
Daily
Times.
Mail. I've got all that.
I've got to cover them all, okay. Fev.
Polyamory. Polyamory.
No, polyamory. I don't even know where this article is from.
Anyway, talk about it. Let's go.
But I saw it was trending. I saw a hashtag in front of it and I went, well, we've got to get on this. So here we are. We're chatting about it. 131060, before Fev and I really break it down. Is there anyone who is polyamorous or knows of anyone who's polyamorous? Is there some light you can shed on this for us? Is it a way of life that you're enjoying? We've got voice disguises. We can change your names if you'd prefer to stay anonymous. But this is, it's interesting because I don't like.
Do you want me to break it down?
I want you to break it.
What I think
I'd
that it is.
I'd love you to.
From what you've just said.
For a guy who'd never heard of it a minute ago, I'm looking forward to this.
So
he's got it. No,
you're
very
quick.
Switched on,
no,
Byron.
Absolutely.
Don't worry,
push
on to shit real quick.
What's your breakdown?
Byron and I are dating.
Yep.
So we're together. We're boyfriend, boyfriend.
Yep. Weird analogy to start with.
Pardon?
Weird start, but go on.
Oh, well, just, what? Why is it weird?
Because it's you and I.
So what? We've been nude together.
Push on.
So we're together.
A lot. Actually.
And I can go out and be with whoever I want, whenever I want, and so can he. But
correct.
We agree. But I always come home and I'm with him.
Yeah, you are.
We're still a couple.
Yeah.
So when we go out, that's my boyfriend.
Absolutely.
But, hey.
Yeah.
You want to come for
so who would you go and see? So like you're with me, but you might go and see
Leon, 100%.
Leon. I'm thinking footballers.
Is that 'cause he's been working out?
Yeah, his muscles.
He looks
huge.
Great, our producer. Okay.
I'd go nowhere near Tim James.
Okay, fine.
And Blake, he's in a few issues.
These are all the stuff.
I was hoping we'd use the names of well-known people.
Okay. So Liam, Chris Hemsworth's in town.
So you'd see Chris Hemsworth, but come home to me.
Yeah. Would you be all right
How do
with
you
that?
Feel about that?
It's interesting, isn't it? Because that would make me feel a little vulnerable. Because
see, can I say, can I say, I want to raise a few issues. You see, even if I hypothetically could get my head into a space where I was prepared to be in a polyamorous relationship. So imagine you both agree to it, but your partner, he's gone off and he's found Margot Robbie. And it's like, well, you've done well. I go out, I can't find anyone. Suddenly I am jealous and I don't like it.
Ooh.
I think it would depend on what the options were for each partner. Like you'd start getting jealous if you were going out and not picking up.
I reckon there'd be conditions around it. Yeah, I think you'd have to say, like me and Fev would have to have the chat and I'd say, no, you can't see movie stars. That's weird for me, if you could just respect that.
Mm.
Like you'd have to have chats about the rules.
There'd be a few issues there, mate.
Anyway.
When we're in this relationship, it is all out or not at all.
Unbelievably, we have got...
I'm all yours or I'm nothing.
We've got a lot of calls on this.
All right, we'll come back to them.
131060, more people who are polyamorous are calling the show.
Wow.
We're going to hear what it's like to be in a polyamorous relationship after this.
Fifi, Fev and Byron.
Polyamorous relationships. It is a trend that is, a term that is trending. And, you know, we read in papers, online news sources that, oh, polyamorous relationships are the numbers or the stats are going up. But we think to ourselves, no, until we hear from people in Melbourne who are living this lifestyle, these are just words on pieces of paper.
And a definition, because we had to, some people want to be brought up to speed on what it actually is.
Yes, the technical term for polyamory is any arrangement in which you're allowed to date or sleep with whoever you want. You're in a relationship, and as long as you and the partner both aware of what's happening,
yep. So
you basically go off, sleep with other people, and then you come back together.
So you're both doing it, or is it just one?
Well, both, or you're both happy with it.
Happy with it.
One of you might be asexual and not actually even want to have an intimate relationship with other people.
Because that'd be you, Byron.
Well, okay.
You'd be at home.
That's not true.
That's in your hypothetical relationship with
Byron.
And
that was where we were in a relationship, yeah, which was a strange hypothetical.
We're using the voice disguiser. We're protecting people's identity. So we have Jason on the line. Are you there, Jason?
Hey, guys. How are you going?
Great, Jace. We've got you there on the voice disguiser.
It is definitely a voice disguiser.
Is it going cool?
There we go. You're definitely on that voice disguiser. Now, Jace, talk us through your polyamorous relationship.
All right. So I've actually got three pairs of friends who are in polyamorous relationships. And it's all different. Two of them are gay guys. Two relationships are gay guys. The one's heterosexual. One works really well, two do not so much. I don't know what you guys want to know. One of them, the couple, one guy has a boyfriend, whereas the other one doesn't.
Now, when you say, Jason, so there's three relationships here, do you all mingle within those relationships, or is it just coincidental that you're all friends?
It's just coincidental that I'm friends with them, actually. Oh, right.
You're not in this relationship?
No, but I get to watch it from afar, and it's quite fun to watch.
So does it work? So
them together, like, you know, sexual way, just like when we're out together.
Like, he just sees it socially. He sees it play out.
So, Jace, do you see it? How long has their polyamorous relationship lasted? And do you see, does it work practically, or are there jealousies that arise and situations?
So one of them, I've been together for about 15 years. They've been open from the very beginning. But at the moment, one of them has a boyfriend, whereas the other one doesn't, but they're still together. Like, let's say Mitch has a boyfriend, but Sam does not.
How's the one who doesn't have the boyfriend feel?
He dislikes the boyfriend.
Oh.
Yeah, and whenever we're out, and Mitch will say, oh, my boyfriend said this, and I was like, you mean Sam? He's like, no, Sam's my life partner. This guy's my boyfriend.
So his life partner is the permanent partner, then the boyfriend's the other one.
I find it so strange, Byron, that the boyfriend of the boyfriend who's got the boyfriend is upset.
Well, you'd think it would make more sense if both were doing it.
You know what? I wasn't confused until you said that. Now I've got no idea.
No, the boyfriend of the boyfriend who's got the other boyfriend is upset this.
I think he's okay. The boyfriend of the boyfriend who's got the boyfriend, he's fine. It's the boyfriend of the boyfriend who's got the problem.
That's made it much worse.
It's the life partner who's really annoyed.
Yeah, the boyfriend of the boyfriend.
Thank you for sharing that, Jace.
Strange that he's upset.
Sam in Hurstbridge. Hi, Sam.
Now, Sam, I don't believe needs the voice disguiser. She doesn't? No. Okay, we'll just take Sam across to the other line. Just one moment. Otherwise, she will also sound like a robot. So here we go.
Hello, my name is Sam.
Okay, no, here we go. Now Sam's on.
Are you there, Sam?
Yep, I'm here.
Sam, thanks for calling in. Are you in a polyamorous relationship?
Yep, I am currently in one.
Oh, okay. So much to ask. How long have you been in it, and what is the structure of the relationship?
All right. So this relationship, we've been together about 5 months. We are considered primary partners. That means that our relationship is sort of the main focus, and any relationships are sort of just sort of side things.
Okay. Let me have a little bit of a chat, Boxy.
Mm-hmm.
So you're 5 months. So you two met each other at a bar and you said, I like to play the field. He likes to play the field. Let's get together and play the field together. Is that how it works?
It's not so much playing the field. It's more we're both pansexual. So we enjoy people of different genders as well. And it's just more, I guess, we want to experience different things, but we love each other and we want to be with each other. But we just don't mind if they want to go experience different things with other people.
Hang on. How does pansexual, sorry about this to get bogged down in terms, but how does pansexual, and excuse the ignorance, differ from bisexual?
It's more of an inclusive term just because bisexual often implies that there's only two genders. Where pansexual,
but there's only two genders. There's male and female.
Oh, Fev. There's more than two. There's male, there's female, there's agendered, there's gender queer, there's gender fluid, gender non-binary.
We're all learning things here.
We are.
This is good.
And so, Sam, so back to this, you're okay, he's okay. Have you had any instances where you haven't been okay? Has jealousy ever arisen? Because it's such a natural, normal emotion, jealousy.
Yep. Personally, I'm not okay with close friends being involved. That's mainly just based off of past experiences, past friendships being pretty much just screwed up, or I've lost people because of just things. Sometimes do get weird when you involve sex and relationships.
And what about, and just finally, what about emotions? Like, have you, because the truth is that the sexual intimacy can lead to emotions. Have you become emotionally attached or fallen in love with somebody?
I personally haven't. I kind of have one casual partner that I do love, but my primary partner, I am in love with.
So those lines don't blur. It's amazing.
Did you two meet doing this, or did you just meet at a bar?
No, we just met through our mutual friends. We both have a large community of people who just so happen to be poly, and we met each other. And, yeah, it's just worked from there.
That's amazing. Well, good luck.
Yeah, exactly, Sam. And, you know, it's just true what they say. There's a lid for every pot.
Oh, absolutely.
Isn't there? Like, when you work and you fit together and you're both on the same page,
good on you,
I guess,
Sam.
You can make polyamory work.
Yeah, sure.
I wasn't wrong in saying there's only two genders.
That would be the most, you know, common
it's only male and
view
female.
Of it. And then,
if you had a sex change, if you're a male and you had to become a female, is that right? I'm right in saying that, aren't I? So like Caitlyn Jenner, she's now a female.
Yep. Do you know what? I'm going to be honest.
Is that right?
Not sure anymore. In this world of political correctness, I don't even know
she
anymore.
She said, oh, Fev, and then ripped off all these.
No, you shouldn't feel bad.
No, don't feel bad. I think we're all on the same page.
I didn't say the wrong thing.
You definitely didn't say the wrong thing, and I know what Sam was trying to say. It's just... it's all a bit fluid, isn't it?
When you peel back all the band-aids, there's male and female.
23 minutes to wait on the Fox.
Fifi, Fev and Byron.
Do you remember, I'm going to say it was months and months ago, there was a photo of Kim Kardashian that went viral, and it was a photo of her in Mexico, and the photo from behind made her, ta-da, finally just look like a real woman. She had a dimply derriere that made most women like myself go, see, we've all got a bit of that.
Right.
Well, she's still banging on about how she thinks it was Photoshop. She's done a recent interview like a few days ago.
That's never been better for her, though.
I know. Yeah, I agree, Fev. It made her relatable.
Yeah,
and it made women go, we've all got cellulite. She's still claiming that I'll read the quote here, I was Photoshopped. She said, there is no way I look like that. I saw these awful photos of myself and I knew that they'd been Photoshopped. And it's an interesting one though, isn't it? Because
I've got cellulite on my bum.
Yeah,
it's awful.
Think everyone's got cellulite. No, it's not awful.
It is, because I think I'm like 20 when I look in the mirror. I go, on. Like Alex said it the other day. Because I'm hopping around when I get out of the shower.
Yeah.
It really jiggles. I'm like, what the hell's going on there? It's not normal,
right?
I don't know when people thought cellulite wasn't normal. Like, it's so funny that at some stage in history, everyone decided that that was not normal. When, let's be honest, I think that's what happens when you're no longer three.
Right, yeah.
And you don't have brand new baby skin.
Correct.
You have skin that acquires dimples.
I reckon there's probably a 1 or 2 year period where you probably don't, because when you're a baby, you're as fat as anything and you're cute.
You've got
those
just
rolls. You look like a Michelin baby.
Yeah.
And then you go for about 2 years where you're starting to get the real soft skin, and then you become
dimply.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's normal.
And they're fine. And
I want to go back to that 2 years.
But I'm starting to think, and I guess if anyone in this world is deluded because of delusions of grandeur, it would be Kim Kardashian. Like, when you've got a billion followers and you get photographed everywhere you go, maybe you start to think that you are supernatural. But
like me.
Yeah. But
like Fev, yep.
But she's clearly in denial about what she really looks like, because we've been looking at her bottom for decades now, it feels like. Mm. She's got a big bottom with dimples. More power too. In fact, I'd say that's what's made her this famous.
Yeah. Or maybe a tape.
But
what's that too?
What? Mm. Oh, the tape.
Made her famous.
Do you know what? I never saw the tape.
Rubbish.
I never saw the tape. I actually...
Rubbish.
I don't even know if you can actually see it. Can you Google it?
I
think you've got to buy it, maybe.
All right. Okay.
But anyway, what I love about this most, though, is her denial. Because I think we've all maybe at some stage been in denial about what we look like. And I kid you, this happened to me a few years ago. I remember, would have been, I'm just trying to think, maybe after I'd had Trixie. And I didn't, I was going around telling people what I weighed. Like, I remember I even had to go and do a blood test or something, and they said, oh, what do you weigh? And I gave them my weight. Mm. And then I remember the first time I went to a personal trainer, and he said, oh, we'll do the weigh-in. And I was like, oh, I know what I am. Like, I'm, yeah, you know, 61 or whatever. And he was like, yep, cool, okay, I'll just do the weigh-in anyway. I was like 10 kilos heavier than I thought I was. 10.
Wow. Oh,
like I was hiding 10.
Wow.
I've been there, baby.
Wow.
I used to weigh 100.
But I remember walking around going, no, I'm not. I'm 61. Yeah. I'm not 71. What happened there?
Well, I used to say about 115. And that was to 2 weeks ago when I hopped on the scales. Yeah, 127.
Ooh,
sorry, what?
127. What did you think you were?
115. And then I emptied all my pockets and got on and I was 126.2.
Yeah.
Yep. Anyway.
It's, well, see, that's fatty. What I mean. No, no, in denial. Fair.
Now
we're both prepared to say.
Now I haven't eaten for 2 weeks.
I know. And look at you. You're fading away. We are both prepared to say we've been in denial about what we look like.
Yep.
13, 10, 60.
I know I look good. I just didn't think I was that heavy.
Are you in denial of what you look like or what was the shock for you? Because I can tell you when that personal trainer said, oh, I'll just weigh you, and I looked down and I went, I don't remember seeing a 7 at the start ever.
Okay. Well, I've got a perfect example.
And I was shaking for days over
fair
that.
Enough.
And you weren't there, Boxy.
What happened?
But on Saturday night when I was walking the carpet with Greggy,
yeah,
he looked like an Oompa Loompa because he'd had a spray tan. And he said he looked on,
yeah,
but he didn't.
I was in denial.
Oh my God.
Well, no, I was in denial because I thought it looked natural. And looking at the photos, it may look a tiny, tiny bit fake, that tan. Fair enough. I thought it looked very natural. I was in denial. That's a great example.
Actually, it is a great example because sometimes photos are your moment.
Right.
They're your epiphany where you go, oh, that's what I actually look like. It's what Kim Kardashian should have done.
Okay, we'll take a break. 13.
Are you in denial?
Fifi, Fev and Byron.
Talking about when have you been in denial of what you look like, because Kim Kardashian is still banging on about those photos of her butt where it was all dimply and relatable, and we all went, yes, see, Kim's got butts like ours with dimples through them. And she's still saying she was Photoshopped. That's not what I look like. And this can happen. I said a few years ago, I believed I was 60 kilos, only to find out I was over 70.
Sure.
And I got the shock of my life.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's more us, I think.
What do you mean?
Because I wasn't in denial. I just thought I was 115. And then I went, what?
But I wasn't. No, but that's been in denial because I honestly thought I was a weight that I clearly wasn't. And my brain had tricked me into thinking I was. Robbie and Dandenong. Hi, Robbie.
Hi, how are you guys?
You're good, Robbie. Are you in denial about how you actually look like, what you look like?
Yeah, I was actually surprised. I was actually, I thought I was 55 kilos and then ended up going to the gym and then I was 73 kilos.
That's a lot higher. Yeah, that's a lot higher, isn't it?
That is.
Yeah, because I'm short, it doesn't really help at all because I'm only 158 centimetres and I was just like, that can't be.
Yeah.
Well, can it turns out.
He's nearly half his weight.
Robbie, when you came to grips with it, could you go, yeah, clearly I was a bit bulkier than I thought I was?
Yeah, so I started hitting the gym a bit more than expected.
Good on you, Robbie.
Robbie, maybe it was your muscle. Maybe 70... your muscles were weighing all the weight.
So you thought you were 51.
I had no muscles whatsoever.
So you thought you were 51.
55, and then when I weighed it, to try and impress someone, I was 73 kilos, so I looked really bad.
Yeah, there we go.
No, yeah, Robbie, I reckon it sounds like, that sounds like a good weight for you.
Healthy weight range.
Mate, I wish I was 75.
Yeah.
Thank you, Robbie.
I'm like double his weight.
Tina in Knoxville. Hi, Tina.
One of my legs is...
Hey, guys. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Tina. Tina, are you or have you been in denial of what you really look like?
Yes, I was in denial for about a year, and then 2015 for Christmas. For me to get the point, my dad had to buy me a scale.
Oh, no. Why did your dad do that, Tina?
Yeah, I guess because I just wasn't listening to anyone. I had fallen in love and I just was comfortable and I just didn't notice how much weight I'd actually put on and it was, 27 kilos. So luckily since then I've lost more than that. So.
Well done, Tina.
Tina, were
good
you
on
happy?
You.
I have to be honest, I'm not really a big fan of other people pointing out that you should need to lose weight. I feel that's something you come to on your own. I don't.
Yeah, I mean, Fifi was probably the worst Christmas of my life because I cried.
Yeah, no, that's
Tina,
not
that's
right.
Really horrible. But I know your dad. See, his parents are really funny. I know he was meaning well, but I think that is a cruel thing to do to someone.
Yeah, yeah, it was pretty harsh, but it got the point across, I guess.
But look, it's all
well,
worked out.
As long
out,
as you're
but...
happy, because and I want to make that point. Some people are happy with extra weight on and more power to them.
I
it's
feel
about...
like a Pop-Tart.
Well, I've said you. I think you look good. Whatever.
I don't even know what they taste like, and I just got Pop Tarts in my head.
You'd like a Pop Tart.
I don't know why, but I just literally feel like a Pop Tart.
Okay. Well, Pop Tarts are quite slim when you really think they've got to fit into the toaster, so it's not a bad thing. Tanya in Clyde North. Hi, Tanya.
Hey, guys.
Tanya, are you in denial?
Yeah, I was in denial until I got Snapchat. And then I realised how many chins I actually had.
Oh!
That's the wrong filter.
Thank you, Tanya.
Fifi, Feb and Byron.
Big day in television today. I was going to sleep last night about 8:30 and suddenly on my news feed, Lisa Wilkinson's leaving the Today Show.
Gone.
And then I won't lie, I fell asleep. And I've woken up to all the stories, all the speculation, and I'm first cab to jump off this rank and say, I don't believe a word of anything I read. And I think we should all be mindful of that.
I'm going to go the opposite. So you go. And then
okay.
I'll go.
Yeah, fine. We're all open. We're all welcome to our own opinions. So until I hear from Lisa's mouth or from the Nine Network that this was a pay dispute, because that's what everyone's talking about. Now, if it is in fact, I'm not kidding. I see people's figures, salaries thrown around all the time. I've seen mine thrown around and gone, well, that's not right.
Yeah, on
so,
that.
I don't know, but the truth
Feb's
is...
seen yours as well.
I don't know. I think, whatever the result is, well done, Lisa. Fantastic for you. She's made a decision in her life that's right for her. I think it's a huge loss for the Today Show. And I don't mind saying, I think the way it's been handled today, and if this is Channel 9 executives, whoever's made the decision to not give Lisa a chance to say goodbye to the audience or the audience to not say goodbye to her, it is, Feb, staggering. So this is, Lisa's not on the Today Show today. There's no
awkward.
Farewell. There's no, we've loved having you for 10 years. This is how the show started this morning.
It's Tuesday the 17th of October. Morning, guys.
Good morning, Carl.
Now, obviously, very big day for us yesterday here on the show and a very big day for Lisa Wilkinson. We'll have plenty more to say about that a little bit later in the program. But right now, as we always do, we'll get on with the news.
I mean, it's brutal. And you never, the thing is, you don't know what goes on behind closed doors, but the news reports today are that Lisa may have been asking for the same commensurate salary that Carl's on.
And this is where I jump in.
And yeah, and I'll just finish the point. And they're saying that Channel 9 refused to give her what Carl was being paid and she's walked. Again, that is a purported report. It's not necessarily
a
factual.
A what report?
It's purported.
Learn something every day.
You do.
A purported report.
It was a purported report.
Now, Boxy, she's done a great job, Lisa. I'm glad that she's left and it's Channel 10's gain because she's great and deserves to be paid.
And signed on to work on the project.
Work on the project alongside you. She's ticking all the boxes. Just on the pay. Now, you get what probably Carl gets. And Byron and I are on what Lisa gets.
That's
so
ridiculous. That is
when
absolutely
we go to negotiate,
ridiculous.
If they don't come to the party, we're going to go to some... We'll probably go regional again.
Well, regardless of the, but regardless of the figures, I mean, you work for what you believe you're worth, and if they can't meet it, you leave.
Yeah, absolutely.
They should be paid the same. They both do the same job.
Absolutely. They should be, you'd assume.
Well, you know what? If you really want to unpack it, I mean, how do... Does this how it works in football? In your football contracts, did you walk in?
No, but it's not
does
a two-man
Buddy get
team.
Paid? Yeah, but
so if you're playing
you
doubles,
kidding?
If you're playing doubles tennis, you both get the same amount of prize money.
I'm all for you want to. We want to become communists. I'm happy to do that. I don't
no,
have
no,
a personal
a
problem.
Team,
but I'm saying I know you got
players.
Paid a lot more than other Carlton players. So
yeah,
does that?
Yeah, but that's different. It's a football. It's a team. It's a football team
that's
that
a television
plays.
Show.
Yeah, but there's only two of them.
No,
the
what about the guy on the side, the sports dude, Tim?
Yeah, but they're
what about Sylvia and all her wedding? She did her wedding publicly. Did she get the same
no,
money
but,
for
no,
that?
But probably, she probably did. But they're co-hosts. So those two are driving. So the coach will get paid the most out of all the other coaches because he's coaching the side. 100%.
Oh, I don't. I have no. This is what I want to say. I don't think anyone knows the ins and outs of necessarily Carl's or Lisa's contract. I think Lisa has made a decision in her life, and I could not love Lisa Wilkinson more. So, however she arrived there, is great. But if let's just say if this is the case, it's fantastic. Like if she has gone in and said, "This is what I'm worth. This is what I believe I'm worth," and if you don't pay me that, I'm leaving.
Yep.
That is what I call solid brinkmanship.
Totally.
Now, you do this, and it doesn't even matter if you are necessarily negotiating contracts with your employer. I reckon everyone at some stage in their life shows a bit of brinkmanship. It's like when you buy a house or, you know, even you recently were buying a dining room table, Byron.
I was,
you
yes.
go in and you go, right, I'm paying you $700 for that, and if you're not going to take it, I walk. And there's part of you in your brain that goes, oh, gosh, I may not get the dining room table. I know I'm going to have to walk off without it.
And it's a beautiful table, and that is a huge, huge
exactly.
risk.
Exactly. Or back to the job, you go, I'm worth this, and if you don't, I'll walk. And sometimes you have to walk. You yeah. go, I've called it.
Right. Yes, and she had to. Well, Lisa did. And
Lisa
good luck to her.
Good on to her. Good, well done.
Again,
well,
might Lisa, have.
Yeah, maybe. But this will be like when I go to speak to Gemma and AB.
What, our bosses?
Yeah. yeah.
I look forward to that. Can we, you know what we should do? Can we make a documentary series of your contract negotiation with Fox?
100%.
I would love to do that.
See you later.
And then you're off. This is great. We're a really unified team here at the moment.
Would
it's
we invite
really
Fev?
Solid.
If Fev left today because of a pay dispute, would we do to Fev what they did to Lisa Wilkinson? Well, would we start the show without Fev tomorrow?
100%.
Well, spirit of honesty, we've got guys in the wings that are ready to step in, Fev. I mean, it is only a phone call away.
Fifi, Fev and Byron.
Radio broadcasters, like the three of us in this studio, we often get a bit smug when we talk about television presenters, particularly when you're the ones that read auto cues. And I think we've all in this studio read auto cues, yep. and people think, they're just reading. They can be tricky. They can be tricky to navigate. And in live television, auto cues can cause people grief. Now, here's a perfect example. Fev, you're going to love this. Let's talk footy. NFL.
NFL?
I'm doing you a little favour here. Yeah,
gridiron.
Doing you a solid. Gridiron. The Jacksonville Jaguars were yes. taking on the LA Rams. Fox commentator Dick Stockton. Yeah, this has just happened yesterday.
Yeah,
this is the
this game.
Is breaking news,
27-17.
What?
Yeah, the Rams
that
won.
Was the score.
Yep.
You are amazing. You really know everything about sport. Anyway, so Dick Stockton, he's reading the auto cue.
So
now.
That's like a scrolling script that's next to the camera that you just sort of read along as
yeah.
you're sort of
yeah,
staring
you know
down the camera.
You think, I was speaking of the Today Show. So when Carl and Lisa, well, Lisa used to look down the barrel. and
before today.
Before they took her off the Today Show and didn't even say goodbye to her. When you think they're looking down the barrel, they're reading while they're looking at you.
Right.
So you guys
clever.
On the project don't have that, do you?
No.
You
well, no, Carrie will read the
news off there.
Because
that's
she's,
everyone
news
does
readers
that.
Absolutely have to read
when
it.
When we presented the award on the weekend, we had one of them. That's the first time I've ever experienced it. And
they're tricky.
I couldn't read it, so Byron read everything. I just read the answers off the cards.
It's not as straightforward as it looks. So Dick Stockton, now what you need to know is, so not only do they print the words you need to read live on air, but they'll often write notes for you in brackets or in a bolder font. Now, you're about to hear Dick read something that wasn't supposed to be read.
Right.
Bonavista halftime report. Kurt Terry, Howie, Michael, and Tony look on graphic for the final two bullet points.
Nice one, Dick.
I love how you brought sport to the table after eight. That's amazing.
I know. And look what I'm going to do, though. Not just sport. I've got a little list of auto cue fails.
Yes.
Here's some of the greatest auto cue fails in entertainment.
Baby, V's got a lift this morning.
And Dave's sitting at home
there
going, cha-ching, there's more money.
Yeah, he needs royalties for that. Thank you, Dave Thornton.
Okay, in at number three, this was Bradley Cooper in 2013 at the L Style Awards. Now, he is an A-list actor. You see him on the screen in character. What does Bradley Cooper do when the auto cue fails and there's nothing there to read? Giggle like a nervous schoolgirl.
Thank you, Harvey. Holy shit. There's something written there, but it's obviously not for me. For breakthrough performance, no, that's not me. Thank you.
I know. Do you know what? Did you hear that? He said, thank you, Harvey. I wonder if he was thanking Harvey Weinstein.
Ooh.
Interesting. Ooh. Interesting. In at number two, Kendall Jenner. Now, this was at the Billboard Awards in 2014. There she is, little Kardashian, brand new to fame, model, not necessarily a reader.
The band about to rock the Billboard Awards comes from down under, but the direction they're heading is straight up. Recently, they made their debut on the Billboard 200 number 2 this summer, and now we welcome one... Guys, I'm the worst reader. They're only getting bigger. Take a look.
Who are getting bigger?
I believe it was 5 seconds of summer.
Yes.
It's just confused her.
I find that hard to believe that a Kardashian would stuff up a live read like that.
I know, I bet you do. In at number one, though, we're on home turf here. This is good gear. So the 6 p.m. news, every night, we love Peter Hitchener doing a great job there, the Hitch. He can't go wrong.
This is a corker.
And Beck Judd doing the weather. Now, this was in 2013. And this just shows that when the auto cues fail in a newsroom, I mean, honestly, what do you do? Because you're there to read the news.
And the southerly winds around it push the rain right up. Sorry, we are having some technical difficulties here. I might throw back to you, Pete. Is that okay?
Okay, Beck, by all means. Yes, sorry that we are experiencing a few little technical problems at the moment, and Beck doesn't have all the information there to give us this evening. We're trying to rectify it. I'm not sure at the moment if we're getting close to being able to do that. No, we're not. So, unfortunately, it looks as though but however, if you like, I will have a go at delivering what's left of the weather,
okay.
If you like, Beck.
Let's have a look.
Have you got any scripts there? These things happen sometimes, even in the best regulated households. Thanks for being patient with us.
Good job, Pete and Beck. I mean, they're tough.
Yeah, but not sure.
It wasn't an amazing job. They're good friends of ours, but that
Rebecca
wasn't
Rebecca Judd no. said that pushes the rain right up. Rain comes down. Go up.
I think she meant in a northerly direction.
Up the coast, maybe. Yeah, yeah. Oh, I think it's very hard to pad in an auto queue.
Just make it up.
So that was a top three, but and this often happens. We have
sort of a bonus version.
A bonus version example
that
came in at number zero. I don't even know what this is, Byron.
Apparently, it's one Brennan Pavola
trying to
read a commercial for Dollar Shave Club yesterday. So this is again reading a script.
DollarShaveClub.com delivers high quality razors right to your home.
Use their exclusive razor.
Executive razor,
with their Dr. Carver's Shave Butler from the smoothest shave imaginable.
Shave butter.
What?
It's shave butter.
What did I say?
You said a butler would do it for you.
Why would you give me a live read that I can't read?
Use their executive razor with their Dr. Carver's Shave Butter.
Yep. That's okay.
Oh, Bev, it's always a treat working with you.
Well, I'm not on the news saying I can read the weather and do news. I didn't even know how to do live reads when I come. I've come in here for 2 days, and now I'm here for a year and a half later. I'm here.
Fifi, Fev and Byron.
Oh, alarming news for parents today, reading that 2 Year 7 schoolgirls aged 12 and 13 have been busted peddling marijuana at Melbourne Girls College. That is an elite Victorian state school. They are 12 and 13.
Wow.
And they're dealing drugs in the school grounds. Now, obviously, police are involved and are investigating. But it just flabbergasts me. And maybe it's because I've got a 4-year-old and 12's not that far away.
Well, I've got an 11-year-old.
Well, I know, but Fev.
Wow.
It's unfathomable. Like and then I guess what concerns me and maybe other parents listening is when you hear that, you then think, is this more prevalent? Do we need to know, is this happening with our kids of this age? And 13 10 60, let's open the phone lines and have this conversation. If one, you're aware of young kids this age doing drugs, or maybe your kids have been exposed to drugs at another school, I think we should get this out in the open.
Yeah, I mean, not that it's right, but, you know, some pot in the hands of a 16-year-old, again, not that it's right.
What?
I'm saying you wouldn't be surprised. I mean, you wouldn't be doing a big radio bit, oh, shock horror, there's a 16-year-old with some pot.
No, actually, Byron, I would.
I'm not saying it's right, but I don't think it'd be a shock. A 12-year-old, I reckon you're bringing it forward by a mile.
I think...
What, you don't think it would be... Would we be doing this bit?
I would be concerned. Yeah, if my 16-year-old, if 16-year-olds at my daughter's school were doing drugs and dealing drugs in the schoolyard, you bet I'd be doing
this. Okay, I'm not saying
it's
right, but I don't think it'd be news if it was a 16-year-old. 12-year-old's unbelievable.
I think the age, it's interesting, isn't it? Because my nephew, and he's only 12, about to turn 13, and he goes into the city by himself. And
is
I was
that
having
Walter?
This chat. No, this is his brother, Sonny. Mm. I was having this chat the other day with him saying, what do you mean you're just going into the city by yourself with your mates? Because
I'm 12.
12.
No way.
Well, see, this is what I think.
Don't let Mia go half the time by herself.
I know.
And she's 17.
See, I start to think these things are happening younger and younger, and it concerns me. And I think that is a staggering news report today, to have a 12-year-old dealing drugs.
Well, 12 is ridiculous.
At a secondary school in Melbourne. And so 13, 10, 60, are you aware of this? Is this happening at a school that your kids go to? Is there anything you'd like to share that maybe we should be more alarmed? I mean, people might start thinking, well, this is an isolated incident. Maybe it's not.
Yeah.
Well, and maybe it's a discussion we need to have.
Fifi, you've got lots of calls already coming through, so we'll take them after the break. The number here on the Fox.
Fifi, Fev and Byron.
Alarming news for parents at Melbourne Girls College, a top Victorian state school here in our city. Two students aged 12 and 13 are being investigated by police for selling marijuana at the schools.
Where do you get that from at that age?
I can't even begin. I wouldn't know where to get that from now.
If you're in year seven, and again, none of this is right, but if you're in year seven, you're roaming the school grounds with people up to 18 years of age. You're in year 12. So I'd understand, like primary school, obviously you'd have no chance, but that. You're not just with your classmates, I guess, at a high school, at any high school.
Well, these kids have been suspended. They have not been suspended or expelled yet. That'll all change today now that the Herald Sun have put it on the front page. But Nicole in Hawthorne. Hi, Nicole.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, Nicole. We're talking about, obviously, the broader issue. Is this happening at other schools? Is this a concern? Should we be on the lookout for this? Have you experienced drugs at this age?
I have. I've actually got a 14-year-old daughter who goes to a prestige all-girls school in Melbourne, and we've had nothing but issues since she hit year seven last year, with drugs being offered to her, being bullied into being a part of that group because that's classed as, within her school, the cool group, so to speak.
Nicole, and have you spoken to the teachers and reported this?
I've spoken, so it really ramped up, I noticed, around term one, term two this year, even though there was hints of it throughout the school last year. And I mentioned it to the coordinators, and can I just honestly say, they've got no control.
Mm.
There's absolutely no control within the school in any way whatsoever. I don't know if there's too many students or the ratio. I honestly don't know what it comes down to.
Nicole, that is really scary to think that you know this is happening. It's that prevalent at the school. There's nothing you can do. You don't want to hear that as a parent, do you?
No.
Sorry, there's nothing we can do.
No. Well, they say that they're going to take action, but then when I sort of check in with my daughter, I go, so what's going on here, 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 and here? And it just seems like the situation, it escalates. So they almost take it to the extreme as a punishment to sort of set an example, but then nothing really comes out of it. Like, it doesn't change.
Have you considered moving your daughter from the school?
It's funny you say that. I'm in the process of, she's asking to move. So it's now come down to a safety issue as well. So in the last couple of weeks, I'm now driving her to and from school because she has managed to remove herself from this group and they're now physically threatening her.
Whoa.
To harm her on school. Yeah, so she's too scared. So we don't live that far from her school and she's too scared to walk the 800 metres there and back because in fear that they might do something to her.
Nicole, I mean, for litigious reasons, you can't name the school, but I almost want, you know, I don't...
Off air, you can ask her.
I know, but I want parents to know that there's a school in Melbourne where children are being bullied like this.
I think with the prestigious schools, when this carry-on goes on, they like to keep it very quiet because they don't want it out in the media.
Of course they don't.
And that's why when Nicole goes to the coordinators, guys, this is happening, we'll look after it, hoping Nicole would go away.
Yeah.
And the issues stay there because they don't do anything. Because what happens is the rich people pull their kids out and go, oh, you've treated my kid. You know, you've accused them of doing this. Unless they get caught red-handed.
Here's a good way to handle it. Instead of worrying about media leaks, fix the problem at school. Mm. Like, it shouldn't be that hard.
That's what they're going to say. If the coordinator goes up to a kid and says, well, then the parents are going to go, well, you're accusing my kid of doing this without proof.
Right.
Thank you for sharing that, Nicole. We've got Rebecca in Essendon. Hi, Rebecca.
Oh, hi. How are you going?
Good, Rebecca. I mean, we're a bit alarmed to know that a 12 and 13-year-old are peddling drugs at a Melbourne school. Is this happening at other schools? Do you have any experiences?
My son goes to a private boys' school.
Oh.
And when they went to their orientation day from junior school to the senior school, they're putting groups of 12 boys and, you know, one of the older boys in year 10 takes them around and shows them, you know, the gym, the canteen, and so forth. And they were told, if you need drugs, and I'm not talking marijuana, I'm talking marijuana, ice, pills.
Whoa.
Yeah, and my son really, well, so he told me, didn't really know a lot about it at all.
Oh,
didn't know anything about these kind of drugs, and I was just shocked when I heard, and they were told if you need it, you see so-and-so, and you just go over to that area there, you know, over to the shed or wherever it was. Yeah. I can't remember now. And a group of parents, the boys went home and told their parents, and a group of parents went up to the school and told the school, and the school said that we can't look in the child's locker, the one who was, you know, they were told that's the one selling it. They were not allowed to look in the locker. They said, unless we catch him red-handed, because it's just privacy, I think. Mm. They said we can't just open his locker.
Well, whatever law that is should be overridden. That's stupid.
So does your son still go to that school in Essendon?
No, we haven't named any suburbs.
Oh, I thought they said Essendon.
No, that's just where Rebecca called from. But we're not naming schools or suburbs.
Yeah. I'm looking at the moment, the same as the last lady who I just heard, looking at the moment at changing schools as well.
That's interesting, though, Rebecca. Really hard. Yeah, I do, and I feel for you, and I feel for parents in this situation. And we've had two parents from private schools paying exorbitant fees and having their children exposed to drugs. That's an issue. This is a bigger problem than that's even been reported in the news today, and yep. I think someone should do something about it.
Well, we probably barely scratched the surface. We'll come back to that, because schools aren't doing enough, clearly.
No. And what this is news to me, that schools can't check lockers. No, I'm more than happy. That can be overturned. I'm happy for people looking in my daughter's locker when she's at school. Of course.
Whatever law lets a kid hide drugs in their locker should be changed.
It should be overturned, absolutely.
Well, what would be the concern fair from a privacy?
They could have anything in there. Girl could have all sorts of things.
Right.
People could be looking around.
But you shouldn't have anything in your school locker that no one can see.
That's what it is. It's your locker.
I disagree with that law.
It's interesting. Yeah, we'll keep talking about it off air. And we'll,
unless you get caught red-handed, set up cameras. Bang.
Even though they loved putting together that catch-up, Fifi, Fev and Byron wish they could be on holidays all the time. You could holiday every day. A championship golf course, pool, tennis courts, a bar and more. All in your backyard. MandalayLiving.com.au.